I'm an addict. I'd like to thank Natasha for asking me. Welcome to any newcomers. Welcome back. If you're back from a relapse, I'm just welcome. Yeah, I'm an addict. When she told me it was 25 minutes, I thought, oh, God. Usually I can talk for 25 minutes, but when I'm told or asked to speak for 25 minutes, it's like, but anyway, here we go. I'm just over 4 years clean. You know, I came into recovery this time thinking I could do it all by myself. Didn't realise, do you know what I mean, that I needed you guys to help me, you know, because I'd done everything on my own anyway. I just thought, you know what I mean, I will do it. And, you know, and all I wanted to do was get clean, you know, because my life was, I couldn't see a way out, you know. I come from a family with two of my brothers who are addicts. My dad was a gambling addict, you know, and I don't know why I'm an addict. You know, I really don't know whether it's society or what I grew up seeing or, you know, what happened to me when I was younger. You know, I can try and pinpoint it, but it's not even worth it, you know, because so much happened kind of like in my childhood and growing up. And nothing was expected of me, you know. My mum, because I was the only daughter, my mum, you know, she wanted me to get married, to have kids and all that. And she spoke about a bottom drawer when I was about 8 years old. And, you know, the bottom drawer is a thing where you save up and put just little things in there for when you get married. You know, and I knew from that age I didn't want to, I wasn't going to get married, you know. My first addiction was fantasizing, you know, because there was so much turmoil in my home. You know, I didn't know it's dysfunctional at the time. You know, I just thought it was normal. You know, so any given moment I got, you know, I used to fantasize that, you know what I mean, I was a pop star or I was famous or I had loads of friends or, do you know what I mean? Or I just had a perfect life, you know? And it took me away from reality, you know? It took me away from what was going on in the home, you know, because I was a frightened little girl, you know? I was scared, you know? I was sexually abused at a very early age for quite a few years, you know, so that locked me down, you know, and that's where I said I had to do everything on my own. I didn't speak till I was 5 years old. You know, I could, but I was frightened of people, you know. Someone knocked at the door, I'd hide behind a settee. I was a weird kid. I was a weird kid. But, you know what I mean, it stands to reason I was really frightened, you know. I didn't want to be seen and I didn't want to be heard. I didn't want to breathe. I didn't want any attention on me at all, you know. I started taking a substance at the age of 11 and I stayed stopped just before I got to 50, you know. And trying for about 25 years to, or not trying, but going into rehab when I was about 25 years ago. And that wasn't of my own doing. That was of other people's. That was of family, exes, friends, you know. I didn't even know I was an addict. I didn't even, my vocabulary was so small, you know. And I didn't accept that I was an addict and I wasn't ready to stop. You know, even though I'd had a couple of rock bottoms then, you know, I still had everything. When I mean I still had everything, still had my family, I still had a job, I still had material things, I still had money, I still had friends, I had everything, you know, everything. And that's external, I had all external stuff, and I thought, do you know what I mean? And that's what I thought life was about, you know, because I'd locked my feelings down, you know, so inside there was just nothing. There was nothing. It was kind of like an empty shell, you know, and my second addiction was stealing. You know, if it wasn't nailed down, it was mine, you know, and that was learnt behaviour from my dad. You know, I used to see him nick money out of my mum's purse. Because he'd done it, I'd done it. Do you know what I mean? I got smart quite quick because I thought, well, I can take money and my mum's not going to think it's me. She's going to think it's my dad. And do you know what? And that went on for quite a while. And, you know, within the 25 years of me going to rehabs, doing detoxes, going to prisons, going to mental institutions, you know, bail hostels, supported housing, recovery housing, you know, I'd just done that and it just going round and round and round. And I don't know, at some point I just couldn't get off. I don't know when I really crossed that line and I was in the dark. I was proper in the dark, you know, didn't care about me, didn't care about anyone else. But I mean, I didn't care. I didn't know how to care. I didn't know how to love. Do you know what I mean? You know, and that was painful because I thought I should have this love for my family, you know, because I was just so broken. I couldn't see love. You know, I think it's always been there, but I couldn't see it. Do you know what I mean? I was so far removed from it. And I don't know when I entered the tunnel of darkness. And, you know, I never thought I was going to come out of that, you know. And I started off using glue and everything in between that, crack and heroin, intravenous, you know, tried overdoses. I'm not sure if that was a cry for help or, you know, I'd go over or I'd, do you know what I mean? I'd take paracetamol knowing there was a chance I could die. Do you know what I mean? I'm waking up in that hospital. Do you know what I mean? Next morning thinking, fuck, I'm still here. You know? And that's when that seed was planted. For that, you know, because that went on, that seed was planted. So, do you know what I mean? Whether it was going to be the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, it was going to continue. You know, that was my pattern as well, you know, going into hospital, taking overdoses, self-harming, you know, basically, the self-harming came because I needed to release something. I needed to release some kind of pain because I wasn't feeling, you know, and I needed something I could feel, you know. So it became physical. It became physical, you know. I done everything to get money, you know, the ways and means of getting more, you know, the insanity of what I was doing to get my drugs. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't only drugs, it was drink as well. Do you know what I mean? I was an addict, I was addicted to anything. I got obsessed over anything, you know. And I didn't really understand all this stuff until I came into recovery. This time I came in not willingly, but there was nowhere else for me to go. And I always had to do a detox and a rehab, you know, because I needed a roof over my head. You know, I needed to clean up. Do you know what I mean? When I mean clean up. I mean, like hygienically as well as, you know, just and my thing was like, I'm going to clean up for a little while. You know, I mean, and I'm going to go back out there. I just want to rest. That was me. I just want to rest. You know, and I'd always go back out there. But this time, you know, I knew this stuff works because I'd gone to NA meetings a few times throughout them years. But I knew it worked because my older brother, he's about 20 years clean, you know, and he was working a program. He was doing the steps, you know, and he was trying to encourage me. You know, he was what my family were trying to do. They were trying to carry the addict. They were, you know, and I think, you know, you can't carry an addict. You can only carry the message. You know, I know that through my younger brother. So I knew this stuff worked, but I didn't know how. So I came into recovery this time blind, not knowing how this works, but knowing it does work, you know, because I saw the evidence, you know, from my own flesh and blood. You know, so I went to detox. I went to all the groups, all the meetings, whether it was NA or the other fellowships. I sat through all of them. You know, I don't know how, but I sat through all of them. I went to rehab. You know, I kind of done everything I was told, and then I was kind of let out, and it's that thing of rehab got me clean, you know, but NA will keep me clean one day at a time, you know. And it was that thing of I was sitting at the back. I was listening to the differences and not the similarities, first of all, you know, because I never had a voice, you know. It was excruciating just to go to them meetings, not knowing anyone, and them all being happy and talking and laughing, and me sitting at the back, you know what I mean, wanting to join in, wanting to feel part of, but something wasn't there, you know, because I didn't have that voice. I didn't have the courage straight away, you know. But one thing I did hear, and that was keep coming back, you know, and that's one thing I did. I kept coming back, you know, and it was, sometimes it was agonizing, you know. I would do fellowship afterwards, you know, and I'd just sit at a coffee shop, and I, you know what I mean, I barely say a word, but it's something that I knew I had to do. And everybody was saying, oh, just come for coffee. And I really didn't want to go because I felt so uncomfortable, so awkward, you know, not knowing what to say, you know, not being able to strike up a conversation or communicate properly, or, you know. So I, you know, I used to do it, and I used to sit there, and I used to, and it was that thing at the beginning, what I said earlier about when I was a child, I didn't want to be seen and I didn't want to be heard. Do you know what I mean? It was like that at the beginning of my recovery, you know. So I used to sit in a coffee shop, and I'd be the last one to go because I didn't want to get up. Do you know what I mean? And bring any attention to me. Do you know what I mean? And that did go on for a little while, but I kept coming back. I got myself a commitment. You know, I got myself a tea commitment. You know, I started taking on suggestions. I started doing some service at some conventions. You know, even then I didn't. The reason I would do some kind of service is so people wouldn't ask me how I was. You know, at that time I could hide behind a service commitment, you know, because I'd be busy doing things. You know, so I didn't really have to talk too much. You know, but eventually somehow I got in the middle of the boat. And I started sharing. You know, I got myself a sponsor, you know, and I took on the suggestions, you know, and you know, I never, you know what I mean, from day to day to day, I didn't know what was going to happen the next day, whether I was going to relapse, whether I was going to stay, you know, because it was, even though I was doing everything right, I still wasn't fitting in. So myself wouldn't let me fit in. As simple as that. But, you know, there came a point where I did cross the line and I did fit in, you know, and I did make friends, you know, and I do have people who love me and I can love. And that thing of, we will love you until you can love yourself. Do you know what I mean? All them cliches, I didn't get them, you know, but today I do. I understand. You know, throughout all of me, I've finished the steps. I'm on the traditions. And through doing the steps, I found Sue. You know, so every rehab that I went to, every other country that I went to or across the UK, you know what I mean, trying to get clean or whatever, and then I realised I was running from me, you know. I didn't want to know who Sue was. But for doing the step work, you know, and you know what, that is the most precious thing, is me finding me. Something I've been searching for fucking years, you know. 4 years ago, I didn't want to be on this fucking earth. Today, life's good. Life is really good. You know, I found me. I like me. You know, other people like me. You know, I could be myself. You know, when I came in, I had nothing this time. You know, when I told you I had everything the first time, you know what I mean? I went through this time, my family didn't want to know me. I had no friends, you know, I had no job, I had nowhere to live, you know, sofa surfing. Occasionally I was sleeping on the street. You know, and I'm in a different place now because of NA, because of you guys, because I worked a program, because I started believing in me. You know, only after a year I believed I could do this, you know. And now I have sponsors, you know. Women want what I've got. This program blows me away. I've got my family back. I've got my forever home, you know. But I said the most important thing is I've got me, I've got Sue back. You know, I never knew who I was. You know, I knew I was a kind, sensitive, loving person. But drugs got in the way. My behaviors got in the way. You know, I got in the way. You know, I have a higher power now where I can, you know, I can kick my ego out of the way. You know, I'm bringing my higher power in. You know, what I do every day, every morning, I read the Just Today, I send it out, do my gratitude list. I do a daily inventory in the afternoon. In the evening, I do a step 10 inventory. You know what? Sometimes it's just, it kind of hurts. you know what I mean? That I've wasted so many years. But, you know what I mean? I think my journey was planned for me. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have chosen that life. You know, it was planned for me because I've come out all right, you know? I've come out good. You know, I have a loving family. I can love people now. I can see the love, acknowledge, I can see the love now, you know? But it's only through me putting in the work, you know, because this is not easy. This is not easy. Sometimes I, do you know what I mean? I feel to myself, I'm better now. How much fuck? Do you know what I mean? I'm never going to be that well that I can leave NA. You know, I see people 20 years still going to meetings a lot. You know, I see people who stop going to meetings, who've got years clean and then go back out there. Or they've just got, do you know what I mean, some behaviours that aren't right. You know, we've all got defects. You know, I've 6 and 7, the unspoken steps, they come into my life every day. You know, my defects come in every day. So I, do you know what I mean? I have to pray for them to humbly be removed every day. You know what I mean? I have to have my day over in the morning. I have to surrender. You know, I get on my knees, I pray. You know, all this stuff is to maintain my recovery and to help the newcomer, you know, and to take other women through the steps. You know, if you knew, you know, just persevere. You know, if even if it's only word you hear is keep coming back, just listen to them. Do you know what I mean? Because the rest will follow. Do you know what I mean? You know, and I'm talking from my own experience. I didn't think I'd ever get clean. I didn't know how to. Now I know how it works. And now I know why I want to stay clean. You know, how it works and why. You know, just for today, you know, I've got a loving God in my life. I've got loving fellows. I love all of you. You know, that's what NA's taught me, is to love you, you know. And I don't even have to know you and I love you because I love myself. But please, don't leave before the miracle happens, because let me tell you, if you persevere, if you stick at it, it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're young, old, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? This is worth doing, you know. You know, because I love life today. And I'm a grateful addict, and I leave it there. Thank you.